The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." People were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity to even eat. So they went off in a boat by themselves to a deserted place. People saw them leaving, and many came to know about it. They hastened there on foot from all the towns and arrived at the place before them. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. The Gospel of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
Yes,
I feel like I should begin with an apology. Last week you had to endure a homily from my brother. I'm sure it was really hard, so I apologize for that. I was reflecting this morning on this psalm that we sang. The Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I shall want. Perhaps in the entirety of the Bible, there's not one line that has helped humanity as much as those consoling words to know that our Heavenly Father is a good shepherd. David, the king, is the one that tradition says wrote many of the Psalms, and he would have prayed this psalm often. We know in his life he did things that were, on the one hand, great, but he also was a big and great sinner. And for him to, in his depths of, you could say, his sorrow, to still look up to heaven and pray that psalm reveals, I think, a lot of what we have in our own hearts, where no matter what we've done or where we are, we can still look to heaven and know that our Heavenly Father is a good shepherd. I thought I would tell you a little story this morning. It's been a few weeks without any real stories, so I thought of one that perhaps can help us understand what Jesus is revealing to us when he says, our Heavenly Father is a good shepherd. Israel had suffered many bad shepherds, and yet our Lord, when he wants to tell us about his Father, our Father, that image of the good shepherd going out to find the lost sheep and to bring them home around his shoulders is such a beautiful gift to receive from the words of Revelation. So when I was first ordained a priest, 2011, it's kind of a big transition in a man's life. And from one day to the next, you know, right before your ordination, you're just an ordinary guy, and then the next day, people call you father and ask for blessings. And I remember there my grandmother, who the day before, you know, would just call me Mike. But then the day of my ordination, her and my grandfather, they started calling me Father Mike. And it's like, Grandma, Grandpa, it's just Mike, right? And they won't stop calling me that, right? And the same thing happens. The one day before you're ordained, you go to church, you know, and you're just in the pews, and the priest comes in, and he takes the bread, he says those words, he lifts it up, the bells ring, and there you have the bread of life. You receive the Eucharist, and it's easy to believe. But then the next day you're up there, and you take that piece of bread in your hands, and you say those words, you lift it up, the bell rings, and you're trying to believe that that just happened in your own hands, right? And moments later, you go down and everyone comes and they receive communion. And I honestly was giving communion that first time thinking, wow, these people really believe this, right? Like, and your faith helped my faith. Well, it takes a lot to get used to be a priest. And one of the first things I did 3 months later, I'm back in the States from Italy, and I started my first missionary project, which was a schoolhouse in Mexico, in the southern part which is called the Yucatan Peninsula. So if you've been to Cancun on vacation, you would have been more or less in that region. And I flew into that airport so many times and never really got to see the beach. It was always in a truck, in a jeep, and out into the jungle where the Mayan Indians live. And so out there, it's not exactly an easy place to work. There's lots of bugs and critters and scorpions and snakes. It's very hot, and you have to kind of, you know, get used to the jungle environment. And out there, we were building the school, and throughout the area, there were these little villages here and there that very rarely ever saw a priest. And so while we were building the school, during the day, I would go and try to visit a couple places, and you'd just kind of show up almost unannounced in a village, and you'd find someone there, and you'd say, "Hey, you know, I'm a priest. Do you have a little chapel here? Is there any way you can call everyone who might want to come to Mass or receive the sacraments?" And so I was doing that in this one little village in the middle of nowhere. I was with some of these people, and after a few hours, you know, we said Mass, but I noticed this old man kind of in the back, not really coming close, but it looked like he wanted something. So as I was finishing up, I kind of approached him, and he was coming over to see me when I was alone and away from the people, and he asked if he could go to confession. And so as a new priest, I was still kind of getting used to that too, right? And so we went somewhere and sat down, and he opened his heart. The priests, we never talk about what anyone says in confession, right? That's personal. But this man had 40 years before done something really awful and had decided to reject God and to live far from God. And he was finally coming back. He just saw me there in the village, and something moved him. He wanted to make himself right with God. 40 years, and when he said to me, it's been 40 years since he'd last come to the church or went to confession, it hit me as I was sitting there. I was like 30, and so I was like, this man, 10 years before I was even born, had rejected God and left the Father's house. And somehow, our Heavenly Father, that Good Shepherd, never gave up on him. He knew that 40 years later, our paths would cross in a way that this man could finally unburden himself with what he had done and to make his peace with God. And that was when I was thinking of the scripture in the Old Testament that it says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." And I was beginning to get used to this beautiful truth of our Christian faith, that we're all part of this divine story, that God's writing a story in our lives, and we don't really know what he's planning or what's going to happen tomorrow, but we do know that he will never give up on us. He will never give up on me, on you, on your children. That's what it means that he's a good shepherd. For those 40 years, God wasn't up there in heaven angry at this man, resentful at this man, letting this man just kind of live his life far away. He wanted that man to come back, and finally he did in that moment of confession where our Lord was able to put this man on his shoulders like that image of the sheep and carry him home. And so I want to invite all of us today, as we hear these words, that our Heavenly Father is a good shepherd. No matter what you've done, no matter where you're at, Jesus is not going to give up on you. He's always right there at your side, behind you, not as a big brother trying to make sure you don't do something wrong, but waiting to receive you with those open arms. And so today, as our Lord in the gospel invites his apostles, come and rest with him. For us Christians, our rest is found here. Our rest is found in the bread of life. That is such a great gift. Our Lord's not going to give up on any of us. If there's someone in your life, perhaps, that maybe you need to forgive, maybe some family member or friend that's been years and years and years, and there's this great divide. For us to be Christ-like is to do what we can to cross that divide, to heal that wound. That's a Christian way of life. When I returned from that mission trip, we built that school, and I would often return to those villages. I never met that man again. I don't know what happened. He was very old. I'd like to think he's up there in heaven now. And I can't wait to meet him again one day in heaven. And he'll be the one helping me get there. I was a little part of God's plan for him, but I believe that up there, when we talk about the communion of saints, our heavenly family, that we're all in this together. Right? And we can be for each other, just like Christ, that good shepherd. So today, let us open our hearts. Let us thank our Lord for his blessings upon us, and thank our Heavenly Father for the gift of the bread of life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.